Let us bow. Oh God, we thank you for your word, which is moving and inspiring, but at times puzzling. Help us to take in what is said today and what is read and received. May what we hear be helpful and useful, and may all that we say and do be glorifying to you. Oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The illustrations from Matthew chapter 7 is very real to us after having just seen and read and heard about what happened in the Philippines. Well, the images of rain and flood and wind that collapse buildings. I heard that there's an estimate of about 1 million people that have been displaced from their homes, and that's just mind-boggling to all of us. The Bible is talking about building a house on soft ground or sand or solid rock. But for those in the Philippines, some had no choice. The reality is they live on an island, and that it is in the path of the typhoon. Some houses are built along the coast. Some are built along the shore. And choices are made based on what's affordable or what's available or what's accessible. And choices are made based on proximity to family. So they don't have a choice. And we see the record-setting typhoon collapse all kinds of homes. Those built on the sand, those built on the soft soil, even those built on the solid rock. Whether it's weak construction or sturdy construction, houses all over the place were scattered and flattened by the storm. So the country is trying to pick things up and clean up and rebuild. They may be able to rebuild on their own, but the majority will need a lot of assistance for a long time. I don't know if there's even insurance in the Philippines for homes. There may be, but I don't know of any. And so we reach out, we help, we send money. We help sustain the rebuild. We provide support and supplies, and we pray. Jesus' illustration makes sense literally and practically. Yes, build on the solid rock and not on the sand. But what Jesus is talking about in the scripture is about something deeper. He's not trying to give us advice about home construction or structural guidelines or building codes. Jesus is talking about the home where our hearts are, where our foundations lie, where our treasures are located, where our home base is centered. He is talking about our faith and where that abides and where that resides. Jesus is challenging us to examine where our spiritual values are, the where and the what we build upon the future. The other day I was reading in this book by James Bryan Smith, and I've been quoting from him for several weeks, and he wrote three books, The Good and Beautiful God, The Good and Beautiful Community, The Good and Beautiful Life. And in the last book, I was reading about the time when he was a chaplain intern at a nursing home, a retirement center. One of the days he was invited to visit Ben Jacobs. Ben was dressed very neatly. He had a blue cardigan. He had a button-down shirt, and his beard was trimmed very nicely. And he looked proper, and he looked dignified, and he looked important. As they visited together, they discussed religion and philosophy, and Ben was learned and sophisticated. At the end of the visit, Ben asked James if he would come back, and James ended up seeing him for 6 consecutive days. And each day, Ben would give him little bits and pieces about his life. And after building trust, on the 7th day, he found out that Ben wanted to confess something. Finally, James would get to what Ben was really after, which was he wanted to admit a regret. And as he had looked over the whole span of his whole life, He wanted to share his reflection. Ben wanted to confess that he had lived a bad life. Now, to Ben, it was bad because he was describing certain things, but James thought that's not that bad compared to what other people lived. In fact, some would say, well, he lived pretty good. This is what Ben said. I was born in 1910, made my first million by 1935. He was a millionaire at 25 years old. And in that time, that's a lot. Then he said, when I was 45 years old, I was the richest man in my state, and all the politicians wanted to be my friend, and I lied and I cheated and I stole whomever I could. He said, my motto was this: take all you can from whoever you can. So he built up this huge fortune, and people were drawn to him and impressed by him, and he had a lot of power, and he had 2,000 employees, and they all looked up to him, and they were afraid of him. He said, all I cared about was money. He said, I had three wives, but they all left me, either because I neglected them or they caught me in my affairs. Then he said, I have one daughter in her 40s, and she refuses to talk to me. So as Ben was saying all this, James said that he looked grandfatherly in his nice cardigan. He didn't look all that ambitious or selfish or ruthless. He didn't look like the kind of sinful man that he described himself to be. So finally, Ben said this: I ruined my life. Today I have nothing. I have a lot of money, sure. I have more money than I can spend, but that brings me no joy. I sit here every day waiting to die. I have nothing but bad memories. I cared about no one in life, and now no one cares about me. And then he looked at James and he said, you, young man, are all I have. His false narratives and stories and mottos to live by were built on the sand, the soft and shaky ground, the ambition, the wealth, the fortune, the power, the popularity. But look at his life now, which was lonely and empty, full of regrets. In a different chapter, James talked about another person he met, John Wooden, the famous basketball coach. He met him in 2006 and had a visit with him, and he said to John Wooden, what's the secret to your life? And he said, in 1935, I decided to live by a certain set of principles, to live by courage and honesty and hard work and character and loyalty and honor, and to live according to the Bible and the Word of God. He was married to Nellie, and they were together for 53 years. And Wooden taught his players how to do even the little things to do them well. And he told them, you should discipline yourselves because that way other people won't have to discipline you. Never lie, never steal, never cheat. Earn the right to be proud and confident. And in the according to the title of his book, Wooden lived a good and beautiful life. Ben and John were born in the same year. They lived through the same century. They both saw the Depression. They saw two world wars. They lived in the same country on opposite coasts of the United States, but lived very different lives. John Wooden had many admirers. He inspired many people. They even called him after he retired, asking for advice. On the other hand, Ben lived alone, bad memories, regrets. John Wooden was surrounded by communities. Ben was isolated and only had his money, which gave him no joy, no fulfillment, or no meaning. Ben built his life on the sand. When the years of the wind and rain and flood beat upon him, everything collapsed, And John Wooden, on the other hand, built his life on the solid rock, that sure foundation. Are we building on the sand, or are we building on the solid rock? What are we building on here at First United Methodist Church of Torrance? Are we building on God's word, which will go against the values of the world and the false and the fleeting illusions? What are we doing here? We are to be investing in lives. We are to be building and sharing and mutually in mission, in relationship with Jesus. Someone might come to us like Ben, who has regrets and who's alone and has something to confess. Someone may come to us asking for us to listen, to be attentive, and to be present. For some, like Ben, we may be all that they have. They may have power, they may have position, they may have possessions, but their castles are sandcastles that will be knocked over by the waves and the wind and the water. What happened to Ben? James kept visiting with him and met with him and was telling him, you know, you could follow Jesus. And Ben said, I'm too old for that. I'm 75. I'm beyond redemption. James said, well, God loves to see people change. And God would love to see you change. As he kept visiting with Ben, Ben was becoming more at peace and was becoming more joyful. As they talked about those deep subjects of mercy and forgiveness and change, and then it came time for James's internship to end, and he said goodbye. And at that time, Ben said to James, I asked forgiveness from God and to follow Jesus. And then he showed him a letter that he wrote to his daughter asking for forgiveness. Many years later, Ben's daughter contacted James to say that her dad lived until he was 88, and they were reconciled. And she said, in the last 10 years of his life, he lived a joyful life devoted to God. As we think about the pledge that we will give to the church for 2014, know that we will be building on the solid rock of Jesus, that we are building towards spiritual well-being in the community, in the kingdom of God, that we're striving to be faithful, that we are going to be caring and diverse, and that we strive to share the promise of life with Christ to people like Ben and pass it to the next generation. And that's building on the solid rock of Jesus, not according to the world. So I ask you to be in prayer about that.